Good afternoon, good evening, rather. It's good to see each and every one here, encouraged by your presence. Certainly we have a good number traveling, and keep them in their prayers as they go about their day, and pray that they'll have a safe return as well as journey as they're away. And thankful for all that have come, especially our visitors. We're grateful that you've come too. Thank you for coming and being with us. Tonight, I want to speak to you about now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we've been looking at and studying through the book of Corinthians. And, of course, chapter 12, 13, 14, as Randall pointed out to us this morning, dealing with the spiritual gifts that the first century had and bringing God's revelation to us in completion. And these are three words that are given as Paul instructs the Corinthians or shows them something that's much better than the miraculous gifts that they had, abiding things, I might say, properly, that would be with us, faith, hope, and love. And so as we look at these things and think about them, I just thought tonight we would just look at these words individually, faith, hope, and love. Take just a minute and meditate on faith. What it is, what it means to you. When you look on the pages of this book, the Bible, and you see words there, words that you can read, words that you look at and as you read and understand, they go into your mind, and what they do for you in your life, how powerful that they are. Just words. But these words are very different than words that are written by men. These are inspired words, words that are life-changing. They tell us the origin of ourselves, our purpose, God's plan for us, His redemption that we have in Christ Jesus, and the hope of eternal life that awaits those who love Him. A passage to consider when you look at faith, we sometimes have chapters that over periods of time seems to adapt a thought or something. And Hebrews 11, everybody, when you talk about the faith chapter, Hebrews 11 is certainly the place where you can talk about faith. Let's look at the first six verses and meditate and think about faith. Now, faith is the substance, or might say the assurance, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, when we read about heaven, when you read about what it would be like to be in the presence of God for eternity, when you think about these things, and when you think about whatever struggle that you're going through in life, whatever that might be, that there is something better at the end. And then he gives us a picture of those, when you look at the Hebrew storyline is kind of coming through as Paul or the writer of this book speaks about it. Here in this chapter, we find a list of those a little bit later on who had and demonstrated their faith and things that they did. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. They are the stories in the Bible that we read about in the Old Testament. We see what they did and how that faith moved them. What God said made a difference in their lives and the lives of people they come in contact with. And they're recorded that we can read about them, our heroes of faith, that we can learn things by them. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I tell you, it's just really hard to comprehend verse 3 in the depths of what God did in just speaking, and it came about. That's a very powerful thing. And you look at the order and the structure and the universe and all the created things that God gives us. I hope that maybe as we look at evidence that God's gives, it seems to fit two things. He let us see Himself in His creation, and then He let us see Himself in His Word. Psalm 19 reflects both of those and the conclusion that we should draw as we look at these evidences. It is by faith that we understand these things to come about. God spoke and it happened. He gives us a story to look at. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. And so, as you scan through the pages of history, one individual, Cain and Abel, and then you look at Abel being killed by his brother for the good things that he did. All these years, we read about it, we see it, and understand that this man did what God said. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Abel did that which was righteous and good. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, you know, Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, and now we have Enoch, one back in the beginning, who was taken, who never saw death. And that's hard to think about and fathom, but yet that's what God says. And we believe it to be so just as sure as we stand in here and as we hearing these words, because that's what God says. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And brothers and sisters, that's who we are. And my prayer is for all of us that that will be our desire, that we believe Him and that we understand and have confidence or assurance in the promises that He's offered us. There are songs that we can sing about faith. No offense to Joshua. Josh, he's done a good job in leading singing. I was kind of working on this afternoon, so I didn't want to overload him with some songs. There's a couple songs I'd like for us to sing through this lesson as we think about faith, meditate upon faith. I don't do a whole lot of singing. I'll do the best that I can with these. But let's turn our songbooks, and you might keep your songbook handy, because we're going to be referencing the songbook throughout the lesson. First section is, of course, page 423, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, 423.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet
think about what we're singing and be encouraged by the words of the songs as we sing about them and our praise to God and our trust in Him, our faith that He'll do what He said He would. Another selection would be 167, We Saw Thee Not. We gather on the first day of the week, and brethren come before us at times as we partake our prayer, prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper. And they will talk to us from God's Word, many of them reflecting Isaiah 53, passages in the Gospels in reference to Jesus' crucifixion, His trial, how He was spat upon, how He was mistreated, the great sacrifice that He made. And we are instructed as we go back through the eyes of faith, as we look back to see through the Word of God, our Savior dying for our sins. And as we sing about these things and read about these things, that we might meditate upon them and think about the hope that we have. 167.
We saw Thee not when Thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld Thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we
last stanza there, and that last phrase really something to think about. When Jesus was lifted up, when he's taken up, and it was said that he would come again in like manner as he was taken up into heaven. That's what we look forward to. That leads us to our next word in our study tonight. Paul told the Corinthians that there were three things: faith, hope, and love. Let's meditate upon hope and what it is to us. Just as we read about this in Hebrews chapter 11, and as we sang about faith, things that we haven't seen with our eyes, but yet things we believe because God has told us about it. We also recognize that there are great things that await us too. Selected a passage in Psalm 78 and verses 1 through 7. Psalm 78 seems to be a passage that was written by David, and it seems to surround when the tabernacle was moved from Shiloh to Jerusalem. And it seems that this being the place then as David is made king, and of course the story line, 72 verses of the chapter express those things, those great love for, that God has for his people in these first seven verses. And the hopes that lay before them. Look at the hopes that lay before us that God's given us. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and their fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Now, think about hope and what it is and what it means to us in our life. But our offspring that are near us need that same hope, as they'll face the same struggles that we will in life, that they may hang on to it. Our children have to have faith that belongs to themselves, and they have to have hope that belongs to themselves. When we think about eternal things, it is only God that can give that hope, and it is in his Son. But we have to communicate that word to them. As parents, we've got that responsibility. And here the writer's reflecting upon that it needs to be told, this great hope that God has given. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded their fathers that they should make them known to their children. I hope we might be recalling now maybe Deuteronomy chapter 6. Is a passage where the families and the fathers are given instruction to teach their children, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, we see that faith and these things being sure and true, but the hope that they speak of, the life that it offers, the good life, as we seek after wisdom and knowledge and understanding, how it lightens our way that we can live good in this life and have a great hope of eternal life. These are the things we certainly need to be thinking about and sharing with their children. There are songs about hope that we sing about, and hope as we sing them that we'll be thinking about them. First one's 361. 361. One thing that we need to understand about hope is that it is something that we wait for. And it's something that we might become anxious about because we may lack the faith that we need to know it's in God's time. He'll make a way. A passage that I think about sometimes is Acts chapter 12. Peter was imprisoned, and in the same hour in which he would be delivered up, God come and sent an angel and released him. And he was led out and free. And someone has said, I think as I studied that one time, I heard a phrase that I'll never forget. God may never be early, but he'll never be too late. We have to wait on God and understand that things need to come about in his time. The whole process might be for our good and in what he might be accomplishing in others as well. And so we need to think about that as God works with us, and he works with us as individuals and in their families, and for faith and hope to grow and be what it needs to be. In his time.
In his time. In his time. He makes all things beautiful. In his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. In your time. In your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to
another selection here is 457, the last mile of the way. Know that God will go with us the whole distance. Wherever it is and whatever, wherever that it is, that God will take us in our life's journey. He'll be there with us always. Put our trust and confidence and our hope in him. Last mile of the way.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at
Brethren, I hope you know that as we read and think about these things, we share our faith and our hopes together, that I know, I have great confidence and hope that we'll receive a crown of everlasting life together. I can see you, many of you, going the journey. And we have to encourage each of us to do that, to be faithful and to build our faith and to endure whatever it is in front of us, that we can not lose way and stay on course, that God will be with us. We got to get there together. As we think about what Paul said, he said that there's faith, hope, and then the greatest thing. Randall talked about these three things in his class, and he said, you know, faith and hope are things that will come about, and then they'll be gone. But the greatest of these, he says, is love. Love is something that will be forever and ever and ever. Let's meditate upon hope, on love. Now, just a little word, love. Something when everything's gone, love will be there. Love will be there. It'll abide forever. These three words that Paul gave us, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love or charity. Let's meditate upon some passages about this. 1 Corinthians 13 in verses 1 through 8. Paul begins this chapter to illustrate things about love and the importance of it as he comes out of chapter 12. As he identified what those miraculous gifts were and the Corinthians exalting one above the other. He began to point out to them that there's something better, and it is in this chapter. And it is love. Faith, hope, and love, and this great one, love. But as he talks about it in these first verses here, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. There's a little simple statement or a little phrase that I, as I think about these, and I don't know really how it came about, but I just seemed like I kind of worked it into something I say when I read these verses. The importance of love in these three verses, and you look at what he says in each verse, it don't matter what you say. If you don't have love, what good is it? And then in verse 2, as he talks about prophecy and mysteries and knowledge, it don't matter what you know. If you don't have love, what good is it? And then in verse 3, when he talks about everything that he did, benevolence, giving, and even using the illustration of his body being burned, that's a cruel thing. Regardless of what you do or how much you do, if you don't have love, it's nothing. So I've always looked at these three verses in that way. Regardless of what you say, know, or do, if love is not the forefront of it, what good is it? Paul then illustrates to us what love does, how valuable it is to us. We look at it sometimes and speak of it characteristically in our lives. It can be used in so many ways. Marriage problems, relationship problems, brethren, how that we should treat each other, how it acts and how it thinks, how it makes things so much better when love is in our hearts and that we know that it's there and we manifest these things in our lives that it is seen. That's what we need and to grow into. Paul goes on about these things. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I tell you, it's a beautiful expression. And when you think in verse 8, all of these things that you'll be put to the test on from verses 4 down through verse 7. But when love has its place in that, hard as it is, it'll never fail you. Never. A couple songs to think about when you consider love or meditate on love as we sing them. Let the words go into our hearts. Let's encourage each other. As we sing praises to God, thinking about faith, hope, and love. This one here, 562. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Jesus will never let you down. Never. 562.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
I may have that out of whack there. Let's try it again.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He.
Tell you another thing that love does. It helps a brother who can't lead a song. Appreciate that. But that's what, if you notice, things that we do, little things that we do, we try to pull together and try to make it do the best that it can. Our young brethren get up in front of us and lead songs. Others do, and try to do the best they can. I don't know anybody that tears them down or beats them up, but they try to get in there and help them, encourage them, just like you did for me now. Because I know you love me, and I love you. And God loves us all. Another song for us to think about is Love Lifted Me, 612. Jesus has done so much for us, all of us. None of us in a position to look down our nose on the other. We're just not there. And if we've come to think that about ourselves, brethren, we're in a bad way. We need Jesus in our life daily to help us in our struggles. As we look for guidance and understanding and wisdom to grow and mature, to think beyond ourselves and think about the love of others and God's love for others and how that He'll use us that he lift us up and lift them up. We've got to do that. Jesus made it possible that we could overcome sin and that we could have a great hope. Jesus loved us. God loved us. Love lifted me.
I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love.
Got a hurt, pain, sorrow, regret, depression, loneliness, whatever it is, be healed. Jesus can help you. He loves you. We think about these passages here, faith, hope, and love. Now think about who you are. Think about who you are. It's God's people. Now we've been meditating upon these words. Faith, hope, and love. How much are they a part of your life every day? When you think about these three little words, what they motivate you to do and feel, and the things that you look forward to, how much are they a part of your life? Paul gets back around to how these things work and how they work for our good. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 31, Paul says, now you are the body of Christ. Now he's getting ready to show them a more better way. And members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, he asked, are all prophets? Are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Of course, the answer to that is no, they don't. But Paul says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. Now the question I want to ask you tonight is this. What would that be? What would that be? It's just what we've been talking about. Now by these three. Faith, hope, and love. If you're today, you're not a child of God, there's no reason to leave and not be a faithful servant in God's kingdom, making things right. You can do that through faith and this gospel message that we read about. Jesus came, suffered, died on the cross for your sins. Jesus said, except you believe in him, he'll die in your sins. We'd repent and turn from them, or we'll perish, as Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3. To confess him as the Christ, the Son of God, Romans 10, verse 10, and to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, raised to walk a new life. A new life that has in it faith, hope, and love. If you've erred along the way, acknowledge those things, confess them. And he's promised, if we would, that he would forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Won't you come together? We stand together and sing.